بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، إله العالمين، وبه نستعين، ونصلي ونسلم على خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا، وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. ربي يسر ولا تعسر، وتمم بالخير، وبك نستعين. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for having gathered us here today. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to surround us with the malaika and to cause His mercy and His sakina to descend upon us and to raise us with the anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam and those whom He has mentioned with them. Ameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the wealth that we have in our lives, the wealth that human beings trade with, the wealth that human beings deal on a day-to-day basis with. And this wealth Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put a love in the hearts of human beings for it. So the human beings love wealth so much that you find that every single day people go out to work early in the morning and come back late in the evening in order to earn a few dollars, a few pounds. You find someone going out and toiling in the sun, working extremely hard in order to earn those dollars and those pounds. You find another person who goes out and he sits behind a computer screen for the entire day until his eyes become red and he is bogged down by that work that he is doing. In order for what? In order to achieve a few dollars, a few pounds. So it goes to show the love that human beings have for money. Now, this is not something wrong, and this is not something bad, this is not something evil, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains this to us in the Quran. وَتُحِبُّونَ الْمَالَ حُبًّا جَمًّا. But you love wealth, a very great love, a very severe love. You love it to the extent. Do you know what jam means in Arabic? Al-jam means when you have a lake that is empty, a pond that is empty, and you have the rain that comes down, and it fills this pond to the extent that it becomes full. That is what jam means. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Arabs, تُحِبُّونَ الْمَالِ, you love wealth, حُبًّا جَمَّا, a very great love. They had a picture of what this meant. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لَوْ أَنَّ لِبْنِ آدَمَ وَادِيًا مِّن ذَهَبٍ, that if the son of Adam had one valley full of gold, لَأَحَبَّ أَن يَكُونَ لَهُ وَادِيًا, someone would think that this son of Adam, when he gets a valley full of gold, then that gold is too much for him. There are parts of that valley that he will never access, he will never use, he will never perhaps even see that wealth. So what does Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tell us? La ahabba an yakuna lahu wadiyan. No, the son of Adam will not be content, he will not be happy, he will not be at ease. He will love to have another valley full of gold. And another narration of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continues to say that if he was to achieve that second valley full of gold, لَبْتَغَى إِلَيْهِمَا ثَالِثًا, he would have actually asked for a third one to, in addition to the two that he had already received. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives us the reality of life. He gives us, in the next statement that comes, he presents to us the stark reality of life. And he says, وَلَنْ يَمْلَأَ فَاهُ إِلَّا التُّرَابِ, and nothing will fill the mouth of the son of Adam except for dust. Do you know why nothing will fill his mouth except for dust? Because when he's in his grave and the walls that are around him are made of mud, then that gold will be of no value to him. That silver will be of no value to him. Now he will begin to think about the currency of the akhirah, good and bad deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ, it has been beautified for the people, the desires. من النساء, from the women folk, والبنين, and from the children, والقناطير المقنطرة, and from the huge and vast amounts of wealth that people gather, من الذهب والفضة, from the gold and the silver, والخيل المسومة, and the marked horse, والأنعام, and the cattle, والحرث. And you find that the plantations are beautified for human beings. But what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say at the end of this ayah? ذلك متاع الحياة الدنيا. That is the enjoyment of the life of this world. والله عنده حسن المآب. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with Him, He has that which is the best of abodes. So the question is, on one hand, we have that which is the temporary enjoyment of this life. And on the other hand, we have that which is permanent and forever. It will last forever and ever and ever. So the question is, what would we like to do? Would we like to sell that which is temporary in order and in return for that which is everlasting? Or would we like to sell that which is everlasting in return for that which is temporary? So the choice is ours, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has left it to us. Yes, that love of wealth is there, but will you compromise your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in order to earn a gold and a silver coin, in order to earn a dollar and a pound? That is the question that we've got to ask ourselves. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, سَيَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ. A time will come upon the people, لَا يُبَالِ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَيْنَ أَخَذَ الْمَالِ. A man will not be worried where he got his wealth from. أَمِنَ الْحَلَالِ أَمْ مِنَ الْحَرَامِ. Whether it was from halal or it was from haram. So today let us ask ourselves, that do we really care where we got our sustenance from? Does it matter to us? Do we ask ourselves in the first place, did I earn this money in a halal manner? Or did I earn it in a haram manner? And if we do not care about that, then wallahi, this is a sign of qiyamah. And we have become living and walking signs of qiyamah. Because we don't even care whether we are eating halal or whether we are eating haram. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they cared so much that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu had the slave. And he would send the servant out and he would go and work for him. And perhaps one day he would work as a carrier of water. The next day he would try and help people to, you know, carry their goods around or do something of that nature. And he would come back with some food or some wealth for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And at the end of the day, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu would take this and he would eat from that wealth. So one day the servant came back. And he put food forward for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to eat. And he began to eat immediately. He said, Bismillah, and he began to eat. So the servant looks at him and says, usually when I bring you food, you ask me, what did you do today? How did you earn this wealth today? But today you didn't ask me. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu tells him, he says, okay, so how did you earn the wealth? So he says, well, today I went out and I began to look for work, and as I was moving, I passed by a people whom I had done some fortune telling for in my days of Jahiliyyah. I was not yet a Muslim. I didn't know how to do this fortune telling. It was haram in the first place, but it was my days of Jahiliyyah. I was not a Muslim yet. So I did this fortune telling. And these people, after I had done it for them, they told me, we don't have any money for you right now. Come another day and we will give it to you. So today I passed by those people and I asked them about the money that they owed me. And they gave me this food in return. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he looks at him and he's worried. And he says, do you mean to say I ate something of haram? And it was just a morsel of food that he had eaten. And he begins to put his finger into his throat, trying to remove that morsel of haram from his belly. And the people around him tell him, but why are you doing this? It was only one morsel of food. So he says, Wallahi inni sami'tu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqul. He said, Wallahi, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, Ma nabata min suhtin fannaru awla bihi. That which has been grown and nourished by haram, then the fire is more deserved of that piece of flesh. So if it meant that I was to die trying to take out this morsel of food, I would have done so. This was the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And then it is said he continued to do so until he removed that which was from his stomach. And he ensured that he had nothing haram in his body. This was Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Look at how careful he was with the food that he ate. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu once received some oil from the Amir in Ash-Sham, Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. So this oil was sent by Muawiyah, and he said that, look, what you've got to do is sell it to the people, and whatever you get, put it into the treasury of the Muslimin. So Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu sat there, and as people came, he began to give them from the vessels that were there, pour into their vessels, and he would ensure that when it came to an end, he made sure that every drop was, you know, squeezed out as far as possible. And then he would put the vessel onto the side. So after he had completed two or three vessels in this manner, and people were buying 5 dirhams, 10 dirhams, he would take it, put it into the wealth of the Muslimin, put it into the wealth and the treasury of the Muslimin. He looks to his right and he sees his son sitting there. And his face is shining and his hair is shining. So he tells him, "Iddahanta? Is it that you used some of that oil?" So he says, "Yes." So he says, "Min ayna? Where did you get it from?" So his son tells him that I took the vessel that was left and I passed my hand over it, and then I put it onto my face and put it onto my hair. It was going to waste anyways. So Amirul Mu'mineen becomes very scared and worried, and he says, "Taddahinu min ghayri iwadin wa an kunta walad al khalifa." He says that you are actually taking this oil without paying for it because you are the son of the Khalifa. And he became angry with him and he took him to the barber and shaved his head off completely and said that at least I will not have to answer for your hair on the day of Qiyamah. This was the attitude of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum to the wealth that went into their mouths, to the wealth that they clothed themselves with. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Inna Allah tayyibun." Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pure. لا يقبل إلا طيبا. And He does not accept anything except if it is pure. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ بِمَا أَمَرَ بِهِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. And indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded the believers to do that which He has commanded the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam to do with. And then he read the ayah. يا أيها الرسل كلوا من الطيبات. O messengers, eat from that which is pure. وعملوا صالحا, and do good deeds. إني بما تعملون عليم. Indeed, I am knowledgeable and I know of everything that you are doing. And then Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم ثم ذكر الرجل. Then he mentioned a man. يطيل السفر. He takes a long journey. أشعث أغبر. At the end of that journey, he is dusty and he is disheveled. You can see that this man is tired. He's been affected by the journey in a great way. ثم يمد يديه إلى السماء يقول يا ربي يا ربي. Then he raises his hands to the sky and he says, "Oh my Rabb, oh my Rabb," calling out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a time of acceptance of dua. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَمَطْعَمُهُ حَرَامٌ. But his food is haram. وَمَلْبَسُهُ حَرَامٌ. And his clothes are haram. وَغُذِيَ بِالْحَرَامِ. And he was nourished by that which was haram. فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ لِذَلِكَ. So where will such a person be responded to from? Take a note how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not respond to this person. But he gives it in such an emphatic manner that he says, where will such a person be responded to from? Meaning he is not going to be responded to from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let him seek from other beings. What happens when a person eats haram? And what happens when a person wears haram? their entire body becomes haram. And then they want a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because he's being nourished by haram. So they want a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yet they have placed a barrier between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala themselves. So it affects everything. You find that all of a sudden your actions are towards haram. You are doing haram in your life. You are pushed towards that which is haram. You had some good connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That connection is cut. All of a sudden you find that you are no more reciting the Quran. You're no more going to the masjid. You're no more reading your salawat. What happened? Something haram went into you. أطب مطعمك تكون مستجاب الدعوة. That make your, that which you eat halal, make it pure, make it halal, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will respond to your dua immediately. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about riba, he says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, ittaqu Allah, O you who have believed, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wazaru ma baqiya min al-riba, and leave that which is left of riba, in kuntum mu'mineen, if you are believers, fa'in lam taf'alu, if you do not do so, fa'adhanu biharbin min Allahi wa rasulih. So know that you are fighting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger. Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu, when explaining this ayah, he explains that this person will come on the day of qiyamah, and he will be given a sword. And he will be told that you fought Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the dunya. So fight Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here. Imagine what kind of a reaction a person will have on the day of qiyamah when they see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they are being told to fight Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why riba and haram earnings are so dangerous. We should try to ensure that all of our earnings are halal. And in this manner, we will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a clear record. At least we can say that we ate that which is halal. We looked for that which was pure and good. And we followed the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to purify our earnings. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to have his taqwa to the extent where we would place a barrier between us and his punishment. Ameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.